Okay, Yudalad Amid Aleph, three lines from the end of the page, 14a3. The Gemara is continuing a braisa that was mentioned before, Mishnah that was mentioned before, and it said like this: Almana Isa, Eiz Almana Isa. It said in the Mishnah before that Almana Isa, and we're going to soon see what that means. But Almana Isa is allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay, that's what the Gemara said, the Mishnah said before. Now, Eiz Almana Isa. What does Almana Isa mean? Okay. Amana Isa literally means uncertain status. So what does it mean? So he says, Kol Sheimba, a woman that does not mamzer, she's not a nosin, meaning from a nation of strangers, Velei Mishum Avda Melochim, or she was never married to a slave of a king. It really means any slave. But in the Shlomo Melech's time, the slaves were very wealthy and very powerful, and they used to marry Jewish girls. Now the din is, if a guy marries a Jew, then that girl can't marry a Kohen anymore, right? So it says, Amana, a widow, who's not, no mamzer, she wasn't married to a mamzer, she wasn't married to a nesin, she wasn't married to a slave, but she can marry a Kohen. She can marry a Kohen.
Is
it
a Jewish slave?
Huh?
No, a Goyish slave.
So that's not marriage then?
Right, but say she lived with them.
She can marry a Kohen if she was not married to a non-Jew, right?
If she's married to a non-Jew, she can't.
Okay.
Okay. So Amir Amir, so Amir says, Shemaiti kol sheim ba echad mikol elu, a woman that doesn't have any of these guys that she lived with. You know, it's not a mamzer, not a nesin, not an eved. Masir no kohuna, she can marry a Kohen. Okay? Now, that's really in the Mishnah over there, there was the first opinion that said that, it says like this, Heyed Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yudah, I'm quoting from a Gemara before now. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yudah said testified, Al Amanis Esau, that she can marry a Kohen. So the Chayra, Rabbi Meir, is saying the same thing as the Tanakam, which we'll soon see. Reb Shimon Elazar Eimer Mishum Rameir. Reb Shimon Elazar had a different version of what Rameir actually said. And V'chein Oyer Reb Shimon Ben Menasi Eimer Kedvar. Reb Shimon Ben Menasi also said like him that Eiz Almanas Isa. What does Almanas Isa mean? Kol Shenid Mabas Sveik Cholo. She was married to a doubtful cholo. Now remember last time, oh you weren't here, but last time we learned like this. If a guy throws a get at his wife, because in the time of the Gemara, you're allowed to divorce against your will. So if a guy threw a get to his wife, okay, she didn't even have to know about it. The guy throws a get to his wife, and then we used last time the Gemara, okay? She's standing here, he's standing here. He throws a get to his wife. So the din is like this. If the get is closer to her, she's divorced. If it's closer to him, she's not divorced. What happens is exactly in the middle. We don't know if it's close to her. So she's doubtfully divorced. Okay? Now, this woman who's doubtfully divorced marries a Kohen. Okay? Then obviously, the guy died, because otherwise she'd still be a married woman. But the guy divorced his wife. We don't know if she was really divorced or not. And then the husband died. Okay, so now she's a widow. But she might also be a divorcee. Then she goes ahead and marries the Kohen. They have a child. Now, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, the kid is what's called a cholo. He's not a Kohen because it's from a not kosher relationship for a Kohen. But because in this case we don't know if the woman was divorced or not. So therefore, that child would be a doubtful cholol, right? So the Gemara says that the definition of Amanus Isa, that you was allowed to marry a Kohen, is kol shenitma basafik cholol. If a marriage became with a doubtful cholol, so it says why? So then the din is, Makirim Yisro Mamzeinim Shebineim. Okay? that the Jews know who the mamzerim are. Ve'makirim chalon m'shebeneim, but we don't know, okay, if who the chalolim are, because there's no tumul about this. So the Gemara is going to say now, seemingly, the Gemara is just quoting a brash, now the Gemara is going to rip it apart. Because there's three major questions over here. Okay? Number one, the problem is like this. The Mishnah before all this says, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira and Rabbi Yeshua testified that Almanas Isa can marry a Kohen. Comes along a mayor and says, what's Almanas Isa? A woman who was not with a mamzer, not with an asin, not with a eved. Okay? Which implies that if she was a doubtful chalu, she could also marry him. Which, with Lecheder, the mayor is saying the same thing the first opinion say, that a monas Isa can marry a kohen. Then, Rabshimim Menasi adds to this, and he says that if, what implies is, that if this woman was with a suffic cholo, a kohen cannot marry her. Why? Because like he says, the Jews don't know chalolim, and therefore we don't know with a doubtful cholo, simply, we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what it means, cannot marry a kohen. But let's see, now the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah, the Braisa. Amar Mar, we just got through saying before like this. Eiz almana sisa, what is this almana that's in a doubt? Kol shem balei mishim mamzer, she's not married to a mamzer. She was not married to a nesin. Not married to an eved. Ha cholo kosher. A cholo though, if this woman was married to a cholo, and then the cholo died, she could marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, why is a mamzer no good, and a sinus no good, and an eved no good? They're biblical. Cholo nami deraisa. A cholo is also biblical. Meaning, the Gemara says in Yevamos like this, if a definite cholo lives with a woman, she cannot marry a kohen.
Okay, so a cholo is a kohen. It's not a kohen, but his father wasn't, but whatever.
A cholo is a child of a kohen marrying somebody he's not allowed to marry.
Okay.
A divorcee.
Yes, yes.
Chalutza, whatever. A woman that was with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all these guys are kohen got married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Gemara in Yevamos says, but it is interesting because a cholol is really a full-fledged Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He's a full-fledged Jew. He's not a kohen.
I know someone like
he can even go to cemeteries. He's a full-fledged Jew. But the Gemara in Yevamos says that if a cholol lived with a Jewish woman, she cannot marry a kohen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What do you mean she can't marry a kohen? If he dies and she becomes a widow, she cannot marry a kohen. What are you looking for? Huh?
Looking for a stand.
Now, the Braisa seems to imply, that all of these guys, if a woman was married to a mamzer, it doesn't even mean married. If a woman lived with a mamzer, a nesin, an eved, she cannot marry a kohen. So the Gemara deduces from the Braisa, it doesn't say cholol, which means if a woman lived with a cholol, she could marry a kohen, if she became a widow, right? So the Gemara asks, why? A mamzer is biblically forbidden with her, a cholol is also biblically forbidden with her. So why, the Gemara is asking, why does the Braisa seem to imply that if a woman was with a cholol, a kohen could marry her? Just like a mamzer not, and a sin not, and an ever not, why cholol? So the Gemara answers, v'su another question. The Gemara is asking three questions in a row. Amar Rab Meir said, Shamaiti, I heard, kol shem ba'echad mikol elu, any woman does not one of these three, meaning either married to a mamzer, a nesin, or an Eved. She can marry a Kuna, a Kohen. Hainu Tanakama, that's the same opinion as Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yudub Amseda. So what's Rabbi Meir arguing and saying over the exact same thing that the first opinion say, and it sounds like he's arguing. And he's saying exactly the same thing they said. V'su, and another question. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Meir, and so Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said in his name, he says like this, what is Amonis Isa? Called Shenit Mabas Safik Cholol. Like we said, if she was married to a Safik Cholol, like we said, he threw the get and we don't know who it was, and this was a child. And he says, why? Because Makirin Yisrael Mamzem, everybody knows who the Mamzes are. But we don't know who's a Cholol. Meaning, that would imply that she can't marry a Kayin. Because we don't know that she was with a Cholol. Ha'amet Reisha Cholol Kosh, but you just got through saying that a Cholol with this Amon is Mutter. In other words, like this. Let's explain this whole thing slowly and properly. The Braisa seems to say, Almanas Isa, meaning, Almana whose status is doubtful, can marry a Kohen. Okay, that's what they testified. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seder testified, Rabbi Yeshua ben testified, Almanas Isa can marry a Kohen. Even though the guy she was married to, now she's a widow, but the guy she was married to was a doubt, we don't know her status, but she can marry a Kohen. Comes along Rabbi Meir and says, what does Almanas Isa mean? She wasn't with a mamzer, she wasn't with an asin, she wasn't with an eved. Any woman that doesn't have any of these three problems can marry a Kohen. So Gemara says, that implies a cholol can marry a kohen. If she's an almana of a cholol, she can marry a kohen. But why? If a mamzer can marry a, if she was with a mamzer, she cannot now as a widow marry a kohen. So why is she marrying a kohen?
I don't know what page.
Yudalit Amid Beis. And if the second question is, the mayor and the chachamim are saying both the same thing, that Amana Isa, you can marry. And there's three opinions. The chachamim say, who is Rabbi Yehuda ben Seder, and Rabbi Yeshua says, Amana Isa can marry a Kohen. Comes along the mayor and says, Amana Isa can marry a Kohen. That's the same opinion as the first one. And then the Gemara asks them the third opinion. The third opinion says, Amanas Isa means even if it was a Safik Cholol, that this widow was married to a doubtful Cholol. So she cannot marry a Kohen. But the Gemara's the Mishnah says she could marry a Kohen, Amanas Isa. So why are you telling me that if it's a Safik Cholol, she's called Amanas Isa, she can't marry a Kohen? It doesn't make sense. If a woman lived with a guy, she would not be allowed to marry, with the exception of a cholol, by the way. She cannot live with a kohen. Anytime a woman was with a man, and this applies today, by the way, also. Anytime a woman had relations with a man, that she would not be allowed to marry, even once. What relations once. And she would not be allowed to marry him, she cannot marry a kohen. The Gemara in Yevamos adds also a cholol, the technical cholol could marry a regular Jewish girl, but if a woman was married to a cholol, she cannot marry a kohen afterwards. That's what the Gemara learns out in Yevamos.
She's a gerusha anyway.
No, the guy died. Oh.
So if a cholol married, so you're saying,
well, so why is she a gerusha? If a woman lives with a cholol, the cholol didn't do anything wrong. His father married a grusha. A cholol means a kohen married a woman he's not allowed to marry.
Okay.
Now, if a kohen, let's say, classical case, a kohen married a grusha, okay, yes? They had a child. That child is a cholol. What does a cholol mean? He's desecrated from kuhuna.
So he's not a kohen then.
He's not a mamzer. He's not. He's a kosher child. He's not a kohen. He can go to cemeteries. He's not a kohen. Period. You can't give him kohen. You can give him not levi either. You can give him shlishi, revi, chamishi, shishi, mafter, whatever you want to give him. But he's not a kohen.
Then she becomes Esau, meaning she's mixture.
So now the Gemara in Yevamah says, and this is what the Gemara is quoting here, that if this cholol married a regular Israelis, married a Jewish girl, and then he died, so her status is a widow.
She can marry
now, normally a widow could marry a kohen, but because she was married to a cholol, even though she didn't do anything wrong, because that's not a forbidden relations.
She would know all this before she married.
One second, but we're going to see that later in the Gemara, if she knew or not. So then she cannot marry a kohen.
What is the Easter?
So the Gemara asks like this. Easter means uncertain status. The Mishnah Idyas that the Gemara quoted before, and now the Gemara is bringing down Braitha that explains it, says, Almanas Isa. Almanas Isa means she is an uncertain status. What do you mean we're uncertain status? Why is she uncertain? So the Gemara says, one interpretation is, if she wasn't with a mamzer, if she wasn't with a nesin, which is also a guy that she can't marry, or an eved, which is also a guy that she's not allowed to marry, if she doesn't have
any... What guy would you be allowed to marry?
No, you can't.
So a guy which you're not allowed to marry?
Not a guy which you can't, but a guy which you're not allowed to marry, right? No, that's the big problem with the Bali Tshuvas today, the girls that were once in campus with a guy, she's not the kosher lagoyan anymore.
It doesn't matter.
You don't have to ask her.
Doesn't matter. Nivala, the definition when the Torah says zayna, isha zayna v'chalala, lo yikach. 1 minute. The definition of a zayna is, what's the definition in English if you're a prostitute? But tell me what a zayna means. The definition of a zayna is nivala l'misha asala. She had relations with somebody she cannot marry. If she was incest with a brother, Lamashu, God forbid. Yeah? Mm-hmm. She cannot marry a kohen.
But you have to ask her.
We learned last time the question, you have to ask her or not. That's not the point. That's not relevant to this mother. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah Idyas that the Gemara quoted before says, Almanas Isa can marry a kohen. So the Gemara defined what's Almanas Isa? That she wasn't with a mamzer, not with a nesin, not with a guy, not with an eved, yeah? She's allowed to marry a kohen. So the Gemara asks, number one, so the mayor is saying what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda and Rabbi Yeshua said. Mm-hmm. Number two, from the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, it comes out that if the guy was a cholol, and she was married to him, and then he died, so now she's a widow, that she could marry a kohen. So Gemara says, why? If she can't marry, if she was with a nesin or a mamzer, then why, if she was with a cholol, could you marry it?
What kind of question is that? Cholol is not them. Cholol has a different status.
Yeah, but the Mishnah says, which woman who's a widow cannot marry a kohen? The Gemara says, mamzer, goy, or eved.
Doesn't say cholol.
Right, so why does Rav Meir hold a cholol is kosher? If you're telling me she can't, if she was married to a mamzer, and then the mamzer died, so now she's a widow, she can't marry a kohen, so then cholol also disqualifies her biblically. That's question number one. Then question number two is, Rambam is saying exactly what the first Tanoim are saying. That if it wasn't a nesin, if it wasn't a mamzer, it was only a cholol, he could marry. And then the Gemara asks the third question, the third opinion, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh say, that seemingly what they explain is that because everybody knows who a mamzer is, therefore everybody's going to know the woman can't marry this guy. But a cholol, they're not going to know.
I know.
So 1 second. So he asks, the Gemara asks, so basically you're saying, that's a logic to say that with a suffix cholol, she can't marry him. But the Mishnah says Almanas Isa could get married. And one of the definitions of Almanas Isa is a cholol. Or at least the suffix cholol. So why is Rav Shimon ben Nasi saying the reason why he can't get married when the Braita says he could get married? So guys, a suffix cholol, it's a problem. But the Mishnah clearly says a suffix cholol she could marry. Of course, there may even have a definite cholol. So what the Gemara is asking basically, this Braisa doesn't make sense. But the problem with Safik Cholol is a bigger thing, because we don't know if he's a Cholol or not. Now how do we not know if the guy's a Cholol or not? Because we don't know if his mother was divorced or not. How do you not know if the mother is not divorced or not? So the Gemara gives a case that a guy throws a get to his wife. So if the get's closer to him, then he never gave the get. If it's closer to her, he did give her a get. What happens is Suffolk Court of Law, Suffolk Court of Law, it's exactly in the middle. We don't know. Is she divorced or not? Then the guy dies. Then the guy dies. The husband dies. Because otherwise she's still an Eishes Ish, basically. And then she marries a Kohen. But she married a Kohen. And they had a child. Now this child's not definitely a Cholol, because the mother's not for sure divorced. But he's definitely not a Cholol, because maybe she's divorced. So it's a Suffolk divorce. So the kid is the Suffolk Cholol. Now the Suffolk Cholol marries this woman, Amonis Isa, and then he dies. So the question is, can this Amon marry a Kohen or not?
That's like a
Svek. It's not really, because it's one Suffolk. If it's a Cholol or not a Cholol. If it's a Cholol, she cannot marry a Kohen. If it's not a Cholol, she could. So it's one Suffolk.
So does Rav Shimon ben Manasseh.
So Rav Shimon Manasseh gives the logic, and he says, because people know the Mamzerim, everybody's going to know, they don't know who the Chalolim are, that's a reason to think that you can't marry them. Right?
Page?
You dial it on mid base, all the way on top. Well,
where is the Makor that one cannot marry a Chalol? I mean, if they marry a Chalol, then he dies, then she cannot.
So Rashi says over here, it's a Gemara in Yevamis. It says, that I say, Mishum vade person min ha-tum bebiya, mechiti ali ish zor. Okay, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamis, daf samaches amid beis. The Gemara over there said, learns out from a pasuk, that if a cholol married a Yisraelis, even though he's allowed to, she didn't live with a guy she can't marry. Because a cholol she can marry. Nevertheless, she now, as a widow from this guy, cannot marry a Kohen. By the way, if a Kohen married a Grusha and had a daughter, that daughter is a Chalala. She could also not marry a Kohen. By the way, there's another din, but that's only L'chatchil and not B'diyavid. In Shnorach it says that if a girl's father is a guy, the mother's Jewish, so she 100% Jewish, she cannot marry a Kohen l'chatchila. But what happens if they didn't know and they got married? They don't have to divorce.
And the children are kind of...
Yeah. No. Yeah, if she married a guy, yeah.
To that... We just said if she marries a goy, then she's not allowed to. That's one of the... How could Shulchan say that? We have a...
The what?
Tanu Rabbanon. Ezehu...
The Chatkila and Bediyavid. In these cases, the woman would have to divorce the husband.
So this Braita is Bediyavid?
Yep. No, the Braisa Chatchila.
Yeah, La Chatchila, but Bediyeved is okay.
No, not these cases.
Only case of Chala.
No, only case of the...
No, not Chala, the case of Goy.
If the father's a guy?
The father of the wife.
The father of the girl is a guy, she can't marry a guy.
She can.
No.
Bediyeved.
Chatchila, Bediyeved, they got married, they don't have to divorce.
So the father's a guy, the mother's Jewish, she can't, the daughter can't marry a Cohen.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
But again, if they got married, they don't have to divorce.
Well, you would think
if a Kohen married a divorcee, let's say, that's the divorcer. Now, what happens?
Obviously, it gives up his colony.
No, you can't. Only rabbis that want to do funerals for big bucks, they give up their kohuna. I know, there was like a rabbi in Chicago, He was a Kohen. But he was like not a conservative rabbi. So he gave up his kahuna because funerals are a big business. You know,
temporarily or permanently?
No, permanently. He gave it up. He can't do that. But
and what about his kids?
But what happens, and this was a case in the city, what happens, a woman who is married to a guy, let's say conservative, for lack of a better word. So it's not a kosher chuppah. Yeah? Wasn't a kosher chuppah. Lechatchila they need a get. Because they're living together as husband and wife, right? What happens if she didn't get a get? Can she, and if you invalidate the first wedding, can she marry a kohen?
Well, she's conservative, right?
She's Jewish. She's not a convert, conservative convert.
No. Jewish. Conservative,
she's not divorced.
So can she marry a kohen?
Why not?
Annulled.
So what do you mean?
She's not one of these cases.
Well, if she's not religious, she's conservative, right? What does that mean? She's conservative.
She's a quarter Jewish.
Yeah.
In the garage, they're an eighth Jewish.
What's that got to do with the garage? I'm just saying, what's that got to do with the... She's conservative, right?
Now, she's a Jew. She had a conservative wedding.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
Nothing.
No, the chatchili, you'd say they need a get.
Why do they need a get? If the kosher, the chuppah was not valid...
But still, they lived together as husband and wife.
You mean the bia was mekayim?
It was l'shem marriage. What happens today, there's also very conflict. Somebody called me about this today also. They for green cards, you do weddings to get a green card? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, the woman had this wedding green card. And now she wants to get married to somebody. Do you need a get? Huh? So the whole discussion in Allah.
Married to a Jew?
Oh, so first of all, I asked the guy, was that guy Jewish or not? This new guy she wants to marry is not a Kohen, so that's not an issue. But it also matters. If sometimes they just get the green card, they pay the guy money, and then the girl gets the green card, and then they don't even see. They walk out of the court, goodbye. That's it. Sometimes they go live together for a while. So then, many rabbanim paskin l'chatchila, if they had a civil marriage, because they did it l'shem marriage, and they're living together, so they're living together as husband and wife, not boyfriend, girlfriend.
Even though they never intended it to be.
But lebro, they're living together, and they did. So lechatchila, but in a case where you do, where by giving a get, you're going to ruin it for to marry a kohen, so the paskin will invalidating the wedding completely, and therefore she was with a Jew. So it wasn't the guy that she wouldn't be allowed to marry. So therefore she's still mutter l'kohen, and a kohen can marry her.
But she married a Jew, that's the question.
Yeah.
She did marry a Jew?
Who?
The green card
first
guy?
Time, yeah.
No, the guy has to find out the details.
Why do we
they
have...
They just had a civil marriage. They didn't have a Jewish marriage.
Yeah, but there are poskim that say that because you have a civil marriage and you're doing it as husband and wife, so then the bia is l'shem mishus. It's for the sake of marriage, not for the sake of fooling around.
I don't understand. For the sake of Kohanim, we go to such an extent, even a case like this, we make sure the woman is mutar to a Kohan?
They want to get married, no?
Oh, but you said the guy was not the Kohan, the second one, or was?
No, not in the... The case that called me about today, the second guy's not a Kohan. So even if she lived with a guy, she could still marry the guy.
You're worried about Kohanim a lot.
Because there's a lot of
Kohanim
out there. You know?
No, older Baal Tshuva Kohanim have a big problem finding a Shidduch because of this. Anyway, so the Gemara is trying to figure out what does this Braisa mean. So Amir Abiyachin says like this. Yudalad Amid Beis, 14 B what?
14
B1? 17 lines in the top. Amir Rabbi Yechanan. Okay? What's the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakama? He says like this. The difference is Mam de Tzevech v'cholo sheisik ika benayu. The difference is somebody, when they call the mamzer, screams, and when he calls a cholo, remains silent. Okay, meaning like this. If you call, huh? In public. If you call a guy a mamzer, and he screams that he's not, okay, so then you can assume that he doesn't agree to the fact that he's a mamzer. But if a guy is called a cholol and he's silent, so now the question is that admission that he's a cholol, or is it not admission that he's a cholol? The Gemara is going to say this is the difference between the first opinion of the Braisa and Rav Meir. Sounds like this. Tana Kama Sovet, the first Tana holds, the Rebbe Mem said it says, I'm on this Easter, you can marry. The Kolei, go psul the Kolei. Any psul whatsoever that you call him. The Shasik, any guy's quiet, psul, he's admission of guilt. That means if you call a mamzer and he's quiet, you call cholol, he's quiet, it's admission. This is what the first opinion of Yeshua and Rabbi Yudavim say to hold. Eiz almanas isa. What's almanas isa mean like this? That you could, that a kohen could marry, kol shembo, any woman that doesn't have shtuk mamzeres, meaning you call a guy a mamzer, he's quiet. He's not quiet. V'loy shtuk nesin, it's not if you call him nesin, he's quiet. V'loy shuzuk avdi malachim, and not if he's an eved and he's quiet. V'loy shtuk echolol, and not a cholol. Meaning, anytime you tell the woman or the guy, you're a mamzer and he's quiet,
suspect
is admission. What happens if he's not quiet? That means he's not admitting. That means, so then we can assume that he's not a mamzer, and he's not a goy, and he's not from Eved, and he's not a this and that.
And he doesn't know he's a
mamzer. Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says to the Tanakhama, no. It doesn't apply by a cholol that he's quiet. Why? Because Hanachu, all the other ones, mamzer, goy, Eved, yeah? The kapasole, because these three guys are never allowed to join the Jewish nation. Mamzer can marry a Jewish girl. A goy can marry a Jewish girl. He says, Avoshtuki cholol, kosher. But if you call a cholol and he's silent, it's not admission. Why? He was quiet. Mishum deloy ifchesle. He says, I don't care. So I am a cholol. Who cares? A cholol is a Jew, fine, nice Jewish boy. Meaning like this. The argument is like this. A woman, we don't know, is she married to a mamzer? We don't know who these guys are. So what happens if you come to the guy and you call him a mamzer and he's not quiet? That means he protests. This woman is kosher. If it's a guy, you call him a guy. He says, what do you mean I'm not a guy? He protests. Then she can marry. The salmon could marry a kohen. Yeah? But if it, you call the guy a cholol, which also cannot marry the guy, the chol that was with the girl, cannot marry, the girl cannot marry a kohen. The argument is, what happens if he's quiet when you call him a cholol? Is that admission or not admission? The first opinion says it's admission. And therefore, if he would be quiet, this woman, who's a widow now, who is married to that cholol, cannot marry a kohen. And Rav Meir says, he could still marry a kohen, because he's not a cholol. He was silent. Why isn't silence admission? Because it says, well, who cares? Even if I am a cholol, I could still marry a Jewish girl. Who cares? In other words, this is another din in halacha. Is silence admission or not? That's the question. Normally, silence is admission. Normally, shtika is kaida. Silence is admission. If I come to you and say you owe me $1,000 and you're silent, is that admission or not?
Yes.
Depends if it's in court or not.
So we learned that Sunday morning, whenever it was. If it's in court, it's admission. If it's out of court, I'm ignoring you. I'm not even going to bother you. You're not worth the answer that I should deny it. Okay? In other words, when there's a logic to say silence is admission, then it's admission. Like in court. I say in court, in front of Beis Din, I say, you owe me $1,000. And you're going to be silent. Beis Din is going to take that as admission. Right? So if you are silent in court, it is admission. But out of court, let's say, and I say, you owe me $1,000, there's a reason to say, silence is not admission. Silence is, I'm going to ignore you completely. There's no reason for me to answer you. Why in the world should I answer you? Right? The same argument is here with the cholol. A guy is called a cholol. He's quiet. Okay? Now, if he's a cholol, his widow cannot marry a kohen, because a cholol lived with a woman, and she becomes a widow. We learned in the Gemara from Yevamos that he can't marry, she cannot marry a kohen. But now the question, we don't know. Somebody says to this guy, you're a cholol. Yeah, and he's silent. Is that admission or not admission? So the first opinion says, any girl, any man that the girl would not be able to marry and would passel her from being marrying a kohen, admission, silence is admission. So therefore, if this woman is an almana, okay, she's a widow from any one of these guys, whether a mamzer, a nesin, a goy, or a cholol, because all of these guys disqualify such a woman from marrying a kohen if she becomes a widow. So they say, anyone that's possible, and the guy is quiet, that's admission. If the guy protests, then it's not admission, then we have no proof that she was with a mamzer, a goy, a nesin, or a cholol, and then she can marry a kohen. Rav Meir holds, no. A cholol, even if he's silent, is not a proof of admission that he was a cholol, that his almana now cannot marry a kohen. Why? He says, very simple. They call me a cholol. Who cares? What do I lose by being called a cholol? I can still marry a Jewish girl. If they call me a mamzer and I quiet, wouldn't they? They're going to say, you can't marry anybody. You're a mamzer. But a cholol, that mayor says, why? The fact that he's quiet is not admission, because why in the world should he be? Why? Like I said, you owe me $1 million in the street. I mean, you ignore me. It's not admission.
Well, a cholol has a problem with the kohanim, no?
Who?
The cholol.
A cholol?
You can marry anyone else.
You can marry anybody else.
But still has problem with the kohanim.
What do you mean? Why is he problem with kohanim?
He cannot marry. If he's a cholol.
And he marries a woman and she becomes a widow, she cannot marry a kohen. Okay, how many people is that? It's not his concern.
No, a kohenet can marry him.
A bas kohen, you mean?
Yeah.
A cholol? I remember, it could be.
So he can't.
I have to look up Never Never. I know exactly where he is.
Why is that relevant?
It's not relevant to this Gemara at all.
No, because...
We're not talking about the cholol. We're talking about the almana of a cholol. And we're not even sure he's a cholol. The only reason we always think he's a cholol is because we called him a cholol and he was silent. So the first opinion says that girl can't marry a kohen. Because admission, silence is admission. That means he is a cholol and she was married to this cholol and now she's a widow, she cannot marry a kohen. And Rav Meir says, not true. Mamzer, I agree with you. Nesin, I agree with you. Eved, I agree with you. That if the guy's quiet, it's admission. And if he screams, it's not admission. But cholol, I say silence is not admission. For a very simple reason. Why should I protest? If there's no reason that I'm going to gain by protesting, why should I protest? He's married to this woman. He thinks he's going to die and she'll become a widow. He doesn't care about that. Okay, so that's what he says. So the Gemara says like this. The Ka'ama, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanakh Kama, the Rav Meir, so now the Rav Shimon ben Elazar And if Shimon Nasi says to the first opinion of the Chachamim, that say if the Cholo was silent, she cannot marry, this Amon of his cannot marry a Kohen, he says, E the Shmielach, the Machshir Rameir Bishtiko, when did you hear Rameir rules? The widow is fit in a case of silence, Lay the Kohen Lay Cholo Vishosik, not if they called him a Cholo. And he's silent, because then she cannot marry a Kohen. You know where he could marry a Kohen with silence? The Korla Mamzer Vishosak. They called him a Mamzer and he was quiet. Meaning, behind the Shosak, why was he silent? Because Mamzer Kola Islay. He says like this. If somebody is called a Mamzer, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, the mayor says silence is not admission. Even by a mamzer. Only by a mamzer. Why? He says, everybody knows who the mamzerim are. And I'm not on that list. I'm not on the mamzer list. So why should I protest? But a cholol, that not everybody knows who's a cholol. And therefore, if he doesn't protest, that's admission that a mayor says his widow cannot marry a kohen. Because according to Reb Shimon Menasi, Reb Shimon Elazar, they hold that a cholo real should protest because he has something to lose.
Just the wife, if he dies.
Yeah, but nobody wants to be called disgraced cholo. Still a cholo, you know. It's still it's embarrassment, even though it's not his doing; it's his parents' doing. But a mamzer is also not his fault. But still, wants to be a mamzer. So Reb Shimon Elazar turned around the opposite. He says, a mamzer, if he's quiet, is not admission. He said, because why do I have to scream? Everybody knows who the mamzer is. I'm not a mamzer. Everybody knows that. But a cholo...
How does everyone know that?
Because everybody in the shtetl, everybody knows who is a mamzer.
Bunch of yantas.
But cholo... Well,
we live in L.A. We don't know who a mamzer is in L.A.
Oh?
No.
So,
we live in L.A. We don't know who the mamzers are.
Oh, well, most of the Jews.
We don't.
Most of the Jews are mamzers?
Yeah.
The presidents.
All the presidents.
Why the cholol? We also know about cholol, no?
No.
Why not? You know the kohanim.
Abu mamzer chol tzavach, but if a mamzer screams, or a cholol v'sheisik, then...
Possible.
Why? By the ishtik, he says, tzavach mistayet le'mavke le'mikol. Because the reason he's silent is because they're not excommunicating me from the Jew, I could still get married to a Jew. So this is the three opinions of the Braises. So therefore all the questions are answered. Meaning like this. Rameir and the Chachamim are arguing if a Cholol is silent or not, if it's admission. Okay? The Chachamim hold, if a Cholol is silent, it's admission, and therefore his widow cannot marry a Kohen, because she was married to a Cholol. The mayor says, no, it's not true. If a cholol is quiet, there's no reason for him to protest, so therefore it's not admission. A mamzer would be admission, and not a cholol. And Reb Shimon Menashe says, no, just the opposite. Because everybody knows who a mamzer could be quiet. But because not everybody knows who a cholol should be quiet. I mean, should not be quiet. He shouldn't be quiet. He should be the one protesting. So if he's quiet, that shows he's guilty, and therefore his almana cannot marry a kohen.
Just still don't know why halal. Everybody knows about the kohanim, so we talk more about kohanim than mamzerim. That you know, if they have married to a Yerusha or not, why?
The reality is because nobody cares about a halal too much. A mamzer people have to know to stay away from. Right? When somebody checks yichus, yeah, the first thing you ask about with any previous marriages, whether mamzerim, a cholol nobody cares about. So people don't make a tumul about it. Because everybody can marry a cholol, I mean, who cares? What?
Just wanted to make sure what the definition of the cholol was.
Cholol is the offshoot of a kohen and a woman he's not allowed to marry.
But the cholol cannot marry to a kohen.
Chol is a Kohen.
Chol is a Kohen. It's not a Kohen.
Yeah, but
Kamir Mas, I don't know. It could be not. Maybe not.
But that alone also is an issue. There's a lot of Bas Kohen.
Yeah, but Bas Kohenim, like we learned before, only marry the Kohen and he's stuck in the family with the Ksubis and the high Ksubis and all that the Chum didn't protest. I mean, there's differences. People check. The people are Kohenim would check. But a regular Jew, who cares if guys are Chol or not? You don't ask a guy, you a Chol. You ask your mom's there. I mean, when you're checking into a family. No, I'm serious.
I know a cholo.
I know a lot of cholo, so what?
Okay. Are you a bastard?
Not today.
Huh? Everyone can marry a cholo except the cholo, right?
Yeah. Right.
No, so you don't. We don't know it.
I don't know. I have to look it up again. But the halach, by the way, bring it out the bottom. The halach is like the chachamim, that any disqualification that a guy is silent is admission.
In court.
In bezdin.
But outside, no.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Why can't someone just go, you owe me $1 million? And if he doesn't protest.
No. That's not that. No, that's clotted. That's a chesh mishpat. That's not this din of yichus. Chayshim Mishpat Din is clearly, if it's out of Bez Din, it's not Taidah.
If it's in Bez Din?
Then it is.
It's
just why aren't you answering?
Just like you.
I don't feel like it. It's so absurd.
But you're in Bez Din. There is a concept of Shtika Taidah. Admission, silence is admission. But in court, it makes sense. You know, the guy's you're being judged now, and the guy says,
if you're under oath or whatever it's called,
they're no under oath in Bez Din.
But if you're like you're under the
under jurisdiction of Bez Din, you're in Bez Din. A guy taking you to Bez Din says you owe me $1,000, and you're silent. That's admission in Bez Din. Mm-hmm. But I meet you in the street, say you owe me $1,000. Yeah, like what else?
Right.
I mean, I'm going to walk away from you. I'll ignore you. That's not admission. Admission has to be a logical reason. Why the guy is, in other words, if he would be guilty, then if you'd be innocent, I mean, when he shouldn't be silent, that's when silence is admission.
So the dinim of Choshen Mishpat and Isur Heter, they're the same.
In this respect, in other words, Shtika could only be Kahidah if there's a reason why you need to be silent.
And this, what it's talking here, is also only in front of a Beis Din or no?
It's questionable if it ultimately means a Beis Din, because...
Or the street, or wherever, this or that.
Here. Thus, someone who was accused was silent, and did not come to court to prove his innocence,
right.
Then he's showing that he's guilty. I mean, guilty,
so
that he's a cholo.
It's on the street.
But it's in the street.
Yeah, but when you're talking about lineage... And the guy doesn't come to court to prove that he's a proper Jew. Come on. Lineage is different than owing money. I mean, I ignore you in the street. Why should I even bother answering you? The guy off the street comes to you and says, you owe me $1,000. In front of two Adim. Yeah? But what happens though if I say, I have two witnesses here to testify for me. And you owe me $1,000. Then you have to protest and say no.
If he's in bed.
No, even out of Bez Din, I'm staying in the street. I bring two witnesses. Right now, they say, you know, these two guys are my witnesses. You owe me $1,000.
Then
you have to protest.
But they have to go to Beit Din to bring you to Beit
Din. So then later, I'll take the two Adim to Bez Din with me.
Okay, then, yeah.
Okay. So then, you have to, if you want, if silence is admission.
But this whole scenario is not going to happen unless the guy is dead.
Right. We're talking about the almana of a cholol. But the Gemara is not done yet, because again, we have the cholol and the suffik cholol. We have the nevi cholol and the suffik cholol. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara says like this. Tony Chad, the one Brice says, Rabbi Yisya Mishasuk Mamzer Kosher. That if a Mamzer is called a Mamzer and he was silent, it's kosher, means it's not admission. Shasei Cholol Pasol. But if it's a Cholol, he's Pasol. Vatanya Nether Brice is the opposite. If he's silent by a Cholol, then he's kosher. Shasei Mamzer, he's Pasol. Mamzer, two opposite Brices. So the Gemara answers, no, that's what we just explained. Leikasha. Hotani kamali b'Rav Meir. The first opinion, according to Rav Meir, says, like we said, that if your cholol is silent, it's not admission. And the second one, Rav Shimon Elazar, Ali b'Rav Meir, that holds a cholol, silence is admission, not a mamzer. Because we just learned the two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says a mamzer silence is admission and a cholol isn't. And the other one says a cholol is and a mamzer isn't. So the two prices go according to these two opinions. Okay, let's just start the next Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi tells a story. Maizeh b'tinaikis, there was a young girl. She yarda lemalas mayim in ayin. She went to draw water from a spring in a certain area. V'nansen, somebody raped her. Okay, so this girl got raped. A little girl. So now the question is, can she marry a kohen later or not?
How old was she?
A tinaikis, a baby.
Baby?
Over three, obviously.
Under 12.
Right. So what's the din? So Gemara says like this: Amir Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri, Im Reiv Anshi Masiyah Nekuna. If the majority of the people in the city are fit to have the daughters marry into the Kuhuna, meaning most of the people in the city are kosher men, Areizu Tinasi LeKuhuna. This girl can marry a kohen because we assumed she was raped from a kosher Jew, not a mamzer, not a goy, not a So most of the people in the city are kosher that their daughters can marry Kayanim. So then we assumed, Reiv, the Gemara is going to the whole sugya about Reiv, that the assumption is this girl was raped by a Jew, and a girl that was raped by a Jew can marry a Kayanim.
Is it Messiah in the Kuhuna? What does that mean?
Most of the people have their daughters and widows marry Kuhuna, meaning they're kosher men.
Messiah in the Kuhuna can marry a Kuhuna.
To marry into the kohuna. Right. That means most of the men in the city are... So, what's the assumption? The question, are we afraid there was a traveler stopping by from a different city and raped her? He says, no. The majority of people in that area were kosher people, so he assumed that this girl was raped by a kosher guy. So the guy says, why not? Because of course you could.
Meaning he's not one of those people in the previous Mishnah.
Right. Now the Gemara is going to discuss like this. In the previous Mishnahs we learned, remember there's an argument between Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamaliel on one side, Rabbi Yeshua on the other side. If a girl lived with a guy, and she said, who's this guy? But like we learned the Mishnah in the morning, also from Ksubas over here, that the girl's pregnant, and they said to her, who's the guy that made you pregnant? And she said, from a kosher Jew. Okay, or we saw a guy fooling around with a man. We don't know who the man is. And they come to her and say, is this guy, who's this guy? She said, he's a kosher man.
A girl.
A girl, yeah, was fooling around with the guy. And we ask her, and now the guy's out. So now we want to know if she can marry a kohen or not. So they ask her, who's this guy? So she said it was a kosher guy. So Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Lazar said, we believe her. And Rabbi Shua said, we don't believe her. The Mishnah we learned this morning. Again, that's this. We're learning Ksubas in the morning. This is the Mishnah we're learning.
This morning?
It's the second meeting after davening. We learn a Mishnah. So we're learning these Mishnahs now.
After your time, yeah.
So, but the Gemara said before that Rabbi Gamaliel holds, even if most of the men are posel, she's believed anyway.
Why?
So we learned before, because Rabbi Gamaliel says, her body is a chazaka that she's kosher l'kohen. A girl, when she's born, is kosher l'kohen. Now you want to ruin it? Just because there's a possibility, even the majority, but she says it's a kosher. So her saying helps the chazaka, and the other Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Lazar say she's believed to court. Rabbi Yeshua holds, we don't believe her, even if the majority of people are kosher, she still cannot marry a kohen. Because they say once she loses the cheskes haguf, she's not believed, and the fact that she behaved in this manner She doesn't care who she was with, and therefore we don't believe her. So now the Gemara is going to ask, who does our Mishnah go by? Rabbi Gamliel says, what did Rabbi Yechim and Nuri say in our Mishnah? If most of the people in that city are kosher, okay, it's kosher. And if not, not. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, even if they're not kosher, you should believe her. Right? According to Rabbi Shua, that you never believe her, even if they're all kosher. So like, who does Rabbi Yechim and Nuri hold like? That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Who does Rabbi Yechim and Nuri hold like? Not Rabbi Gamliel, not Rabbi Shua. Okay.